God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're excited. I'm getting there. How about you? Yeah, it was a great, just a video we had this morning because we're just kind of covering the Sunday school hour, but it was Tony Evans sharing about some kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven principles and things. It was just one of probably five or six in a 30-minute segments that he's done on that. So it was very, very good to hear and to listen and encouraging, really. So we are in the area of the kingdom of God and speaking about the kingdom of heaven and how we can have it here. I just want to make sure that you realize that you can have it here. You know, I don't want it, and I know I'll have it there, but when I'm there, you know, the kingdom of God and, as you know, kingdom in heaven, it's wonderful already because God is there. So there is going to be no pain. There is going to be no sorrow. There is going to be no sickness. It's all going to be happy. And, you know, I reflect back to the one thing I'd shared some time back about where my mom had said when her father was passing in the hospital room and all he began to go between the two worlds, the body and the spirit was getting ready to leave. And she said all he had on his face was just all of a sudden he just got a very peaceful look and a smile. And he says, "Oh, the flowers are so brilliant. Oh, it is gorgeous here. The smell." And so she said that to me, and I thought, wow, that is awesome. You know, as he was passing from one life to the next, praise God that he still had enough of the world to the, you know, of talking and at least being able to maybe, whatever he was sharing was maybe to encourage those around him. So, you know, what was it that he was seeing? I can't believe that he didn't see it, because who would say, you know, if it was doom and gloom, why would he say, "Oh, it's so good"? Or if it was doom and gloom, he'd say, "Oh, it's ugly, I don't want to go," or whatever. But to be able to say, "Oh, it's so vibrant, it's so bright, the colors, the flowers, the smell." And so that is a wonderful kingdom, amen. And we will all go there one of these days when the Lord calls us home, you know. If the Lord should tarry and he calls us there, and then we do what we got to do there, and then he sends us back, and all the reigning of the thousand and all this stuff, all I know is I just want to be on his good side. And I want to be able to honor and just give him the glory. And we can do that on this side of heaven by the way we live our lives. You know, as we show his love and show his power and show his love and show his the meekness and all that he was about, that we can have a very good life here. I know. I stub my toes. I know I twist my knee. I know I have a sacroiliac goes out or something like that. And, you know, I moan and groan. How many here have moaned and groaned this past week? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Okay. All the moaning and groaning. We got the moaning and groaning group. But that's life. You know, I'm not here to paint a picture to say, "Oh, it's going to be perfect, it's all going to be okay, and you're going to be fine." Because I would be lying. And then I would give you into a false sense of peace, of thinking that, well, I thought I heard from the Pope that is all well and good, and I'm not having well and good, so either he lied or I'm not in the kingdom of God and what he's got going on. But we're going to find, I think, as we get into some more of this and looking through these scriptures, that even Jesus said there's trials and tribulations when we're going through all this stuff. Got to find my switch. Somehow this past week, I've also caught, like, you know, kind of like the one of those, well, or a cold or something. I don't know. Cough here and there. But anyway, we want to continue on with this. And last week we talked about, you know, when and where is this kingdom of God. And we shared about John preached it. We talked about Jesus that preached it in Mark 1:15. We described some parables that Jesus used to kind of give an example of, well, what is this kingdom like? And then we looked at some areas and talked about how the miracles proved that the kingdom of God had come near. Amen. On what Jesus has done. And so today we want to look at, well, and this is really what we need to know, is how do we enter into the kingdom? Well, most of us already know that here, don't we? Amen. I need to repent of our sins. Mark 1:15, we had already shared about that in the beginning of our talks. So we already know that we got to repent. Amen. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your sins. Amen. Repent. So that means to tell us that you don't repent and stay where you're at. You don't repent and then continue to sin like you were sinning and think that everything's okay. We repent, we return from, or return from those wicked ways, return from that direction, and by the help of God, amen, by the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to direct us all these things, you know, because there's still struggles and battles that I know in my own flesh that I cannot win. How about you? That I need to call on a power greater than my power to be able to call upon Him and be willing to. Just you know, owe up to it and say, Lord, I need your help. So we return, or return from these wicked ways, we repent. But the thing we want to look at is by experiencing that new birth. John 3:3. We're going to keep talking about it, though. And it's just Jesus talking here about the new birth. The Pharisees, man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. We know the story. Rabbi, you know, I know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you have done unless God is with him. That's kind of like he's already given kudos to Jesus, huh? I know you've been sent by God. I know the power that you have. You do not do these unless God is with you. Or God is with him. And Jesus answered that, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, unless one is born again. Born again, born from above. One is not going to see this kingdom. So we look at this a little bit. We find that as upon repentance is the new order that opens up a new life, amen? When we repent, there's a newness. There's something that happens in us. There's a forgiveness. There's that realm that all of a sudden we step out of the darkness and we walk into a place of light by that repenting, asking forgiveness of sins, and then this new life opens up to us. So this new order of life opens to the believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus used the figure of the new birth to dramatically indicate three things. First thing is, without the new birth, there is no life and no relationship with God. You know, go to John 14:6. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Cut and dried. No other dispensations that we've got to do. There's no other rules and regulations that we as a church body need to come up with. We don't need to get into our own man's secular ways of doing things and say, well, that's what Jesus said, but we're going to, as a church or as an organization, we're going to put some other things in there too to make it that way. No, Jesus said it. Just go with it. Amen? So the new birth is a perspective that comes as we, then the new perspective comes as we see the kingdom of God. Remember it said in 3:3, what? Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. God's word becomes clear, and the Holy Spirit's work and wonders are believed and experienced. Faith is alive. It's through this new birth that we are introduced. Literally, we enter in. Verse 5 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter what? The kingdom of God. To this new realm where God's new kingdom order can be realized. New birth is more than simply just being saved. Amen. I mean, there's more to it. Saved is good. I mean, if you're drowning and you need to be saved, saved is good, right? But there's more to being saved. It's like, okay, now what? What am I saved from? Well, I know what I'm saved from. Okay, well, I know what I'm saved from. Now what can I do while I'm being at this part of where I'm at in life or where God has me? Is that just what it's all about? Is just to receive Christ? To be saved and then wait until I'm called to home? How many people see people that do that though? Maybe in your own life sometime back, maybe before you got more desire, more hungry, more on fire for Him, you were saved, it was good, I'm okay. Woo, I'm just going to coast now. Cruise control through life. Now we got cars through some of these agencies and Google and all that you don't even have to drive anymore. I don't know how that's going to go. Some good and some bad, I hear. And they're just going to go through life. But no, there's more to life here as we are saved and repent and then enter into the kingdom. We're going to see the kingdom of God, but I want to see the kingdom of God here. I want to vision. I want to see it transpire in my life of where I'm at. And I have seen it by people being healed. I have seen it by relationships being healed. I have seen it by people financially being able to help and get out of debt and have jobs and all that. That's when I begin to see the kingdom of God working in people's lives that we pray for. That's why we got to be fervent in our prayer. That's why we got to, when we hear somebody's need, don't be timid. Don't be, but go into it and turn it over to God and let God's will be done. If nothing else, just, Lord, you know the situation. I want it this way, but I want it your way. Amen. Help us understand it if I don't understand it. And whatever's going to happen, you get the glory. Amen. We are surrendering everything that we want to do over to him and say, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be your voice. I'm here to be your hands. I'm here to be your feet. I'm here to like, you know, John or something, I'm the voice in the wilderness. Can you believe with all the population and all the things that we have in this nation and what we've got, can you believe there's still a wilderness out there? There is a spiritual wilderness. Oh, go out there and tell somebody in Chicago, you know you're in the wilderness? what train did you just get off of? Is there anybody missing on, you know, whatever psych ward is down in Chicago? But there is still a wilderness out there. Don't be, you know, clouded over by thinking, well, look at all society and civilization, we got all this going on, and it's not like the old Wild West. Oh, yes, it is. In the spiritual realm, there's people still walking in the wilderness. And they don't know. They don't have a clue. They just think that's the way it is. So we find out that there's a whole new experience that opens up to us rather than just being saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving me. But there's more. Say, I want more than just being saved. Woo! I want to be found doing good. I want to be found doing what the Lord has asked me to do. I want to be found fulfilling the call that he has on my life. And that's to help that of the advancement of the kingdom. How many here want to help with the advancement of something? Well, let's advance the kingdom of God. Advance it in your life. Advance it in your family. Advance it in your job. Advance it in whatever it is that you're a part of. Because wherever you're at, my goodness, girls, guys and gals, hey, wherever you're at, you take dominion. If you've got a desk and a capital, you may not have dominion over all the capital, but you can take dominion over your desk in that capital and let just the repercussions of the good things happen to you go over to the other place, you know, it'll just keep going. But take dominion wherever you're at, because we are already in this world, okay? And I can't take dominion over this whole world maybe at this point unless God tells me to, but I know that by where I'm at and I know where I put my feet that I can take and claim it, these things for God and for the kingdom of heaven. You're saying, well, I'm all by myself. No, you're not. Because with God on your side, how many more people do you need on your side? No more. With God, all things are possible. Greater is he that's in me. I don't need an army of other Christians to go with me now if they're there and God has put them there and we're going to march to whatever it is that we've got in the spiritual realm of praying and breaking down and doing whatever in the spiritual realm. We'll do it as a force to be reckoned with of the kingdom of God. But if it's just me and myself and I, and God has given me that authority, why can't I take it? How many here have not used the full authority of God that he's given you? I haven't. But I got to learn. I got to grow. I got to develop. I got to realize that, you know, you hear pros and cons and this and that about the kingdom, and it's out here and it's there and it's for another time, it's for regular. Well, all that there can just get you so confused and like, well, I don't really know if I believe in this and what it really is about. Now, the finality of the true kingdom of God will be final when Jesus comes again. When that happens, we will see the fulfillment of, hey, this is the kingdom of God. But we are still experiencing it here where we're at. So we find out that we have that new birth. Luke 22. Let's go to Luke 22. How many here like a gift? Well, if somebody offers you a gift on your birthday or Christmas, or just they walk up to you and say, I was blessed with a gift this morning by someone. Did I say, oh, no, I don't want to take it. No, I said, well, thank you, and received it. We normally are built to receive things, right? And I didn't even have to ask that person, well, what do you want in exchange? Well, now I've got, I didn't get you anything. Now I got to go out and find something for you now. It's not like that at all. It's just that God moves upon us and we give gifts and we say, oh, this is wonderful and be a blessing and do this and do that. So, for the most part, I've never seen somebody turn down a gift. Whether it's at Christmas, I mean, how many people here, you get a gift, you know. Now, you might look at it saying, well, everybody else has got a bigger box than me. This is my gift. What? Good things come in small packages, okay? And we've learned to get around that because we've taken small things and put them in big packages and watch the kids open them and keep opening them and open them another box and another box. So it goes from this down to this down to this. You know, everybody's done that, okay? Or is it just us? Have you guys done things like that in your family just to kind of like, gotcha, you know? Because their eyes light up. You know, you walk out of the box and say, here, Al, this is for you. Merry Christmas. And Al go, woo, wow, that must be something big. Opens it up and there's another box in it. Oh, you know. So we know the whole thing that begins to develop there. But we do realize that good things do come in small boxes. But we all like to receive a gift. So Luke 22:29. But, well, let's see. The disciples argue about the greatness, and it starts out in 24. You know, my goodness, we have disputes in church today still, don't we? We have disputes with people already. So now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Start comparing ourselves. Well, it's got to be me. Oh, it's got to be you. No, it can't be you. It's got to be me. Look what I've done. So, and then he says to them, Jesus, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and there's also exercises authority over them who are called benefactors. And it goes on, and they're kind of breaking this down as far as the greatness of everything. And then it says that, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves, in verse 27. And but then in 28, but you are also who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father has bestowed one upon me. Jesus is talking to his disciples. I am giving you a kingdom, just like my Father has given me a kingdom. Wow, that's awesome. Bestow. Jesus is saying, I give you a kingdom. I present you a kingdom. I provide to you a kingdom. That's what this bestow kind of opens up into if you look at bestow. I bestow upon you a kingdom. I am giving you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me. As my Father gave me or presented me or gave away a kingdom to me, I am giving it to you. That's our Jesus. He's trying to tell them, hey, you're all important. You know, whatever you're doing for the things of God, you're important to be doing those. It doesn't matter if you're doing it this or that or whatever the case might be. It doesn't mean you need to be in front and center of everybody hearing them talk. You might be behind the scenes doing phenomenal things for the kingdom of God. And, you know, it's not to stand before everybody and say, well, look what I've done. And this one back here says, well, I guess I'm not that important. But we've all got that gift. He's bestowed it upon us. And it goes on that, you know, the Father bestowed one upon me that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The kingdom is a gift that is present both in the person of Jesus and in his body, the church. It will be fulfilled completely in the future age, in the future times of him coming back. But here again, how are we getting this? How do we receive this kingdom? How do we talk about the kingdom upon this earth that we're a part of right now? We talked about when and where it is. We've now entered into how do we enter in by that of repenting of our sins, experiencing the new birth, of asking Jesus into our life. We receive it by a gift, as a gift. Now, there are some people that are pretty prideful, aren't they? And they don't want to take a gift because here again, they feel like, well, if I get something from you, I am almost challenged with, I got to go out and find something to give back to you. We kind of run along that in our nature of being brought up at times, right? I mean, you even think of it, and I don't know, I don't want to go there, but we feel like we've got to outdo or undo or up one on somebody else because they've done something for us. As you come into the realm of the kingdom of God and realizing what Jesus has done for you, I honestly, and I imagine you guys did too, you received Jesus' gift to you. There ain't nothing else you can do. You know, as God so loved the world, he sent Jesus to die for Tim. There's not one thing that I can do that will ever one-up me on that. But I can honor that. I can respect that. I can revere that. I can do that by saying, okay, God, I'm yours. You've got to do that. You've got to say, God, I'm yours. What I have is yours, and what you have is mine. And if my stuff is in the way of your stuff, throw my stuff out, because I want your stuff. If my time is more important to me and I'm not given time for you, Lord, somehow, some way, work in my spirit, work in my life, work in whatever it is that I can put the stuff of the world timing out there and let me walk in the kingdom of God's timing and fulfill what you have for me to do here. It's not to be he's going to call you home then right away. It's just going to say, Lord, I just know there's something much better and I need to serve you than I serve this world. We have a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, myself included, if we don't watch it in this church too, that can serve a lot of the time constraints and the things of this world than the things of the kingdom of God. We put everything in sections and times and we got to work around this. Can't have a Sunday school hour at that time because people are still sleeping. Oh, you can't have a midweek on Wednesday because people are tied up. And sometimes you don't even want a midweek service because people aren't going to come anyway. Well, now we're not going to have a Sunday night service because, well, people's times, they don't have time for that. So we have shifted a lot in the kingdom of God trying to appease people and trying to appease the time constraints of this world. The only thing that I'm experiencing out of all this, I don't know if you guys have, is I've realized that years back, God got this much time in a person's life. As an example. I don't know what that means. But I'm going to say God got this much time in people's lives 10, 20, 30, or 40, 50 years ago. Maybe even longer than that, they got this much. But I've seen through just my short life of, goodness, 58, 59 years, that the timing of what we give God now in the house of God and the times in our lives is going like this. And as I decrease the time that I spend with God and joining together with like saints and attending service and Bible studies and midweek things and all that, I'm down to this. So I can only surmise that if I'm in this part of time of dropping my time with God and the things that he's got in his kingdom for me, something else has got to be going up. God and me and the time of the church, now we give him this much, one day a week, 2.5 hours at the most, hour and 45 minutes. If I'm taken away from this, I'm giving it to something else. The world's time is just growing by leaps and bounds of pulling on you, pulling on me. You don't have time for midweek Bible study. You don't have time for prayer on Thursday. You don't have time for men's breakfast on that second Saturday. You don't have time to serve in the helps in the church. You don't have time to do this. You don't have time to do that. Anything connected with the kingdom of God and the things that God wants us to do, we find a reason why we don't have the time to do it. Now, I'm not scolding you. I'm talking to myself. Because I, too, walk that line of deciding, what world am I going to serve? What God am I going to serve? The God of this world? Of Satan? And Satan mirrors himself really good with a lot of good stuff. You know? Oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Remember we had a study one time, and it said this, a good thing done at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. We might do a lot of things that we think we're doing the kingdom of God, and we're doing this and we're doing that, but if it's not doing what we really need to be doing, it's not really a good thing no matter what. We like to think that because it makes us feel good. We can talk ourselves into feeling good, warm and fuzzy. But we've got to get down to the point that in a day and age to where we see the things happening in this life, in our country, in this world, we are seeing more of these things happening, more amplified of just atrocities, and they've always been there, I guess, but we're hearing it more because of the media and all that, I guess. But it just seems to me that the less that we're giving time to God in our lives, the world is capitalizing on that, and the world is expanding to the point of just, I don't even know where we're going. I don't even know where the church is going. We also read in God's Word where he talks about a great apostasy, a great falling away of the church. Now, why would God say that? Because it's true. God's Word tells us. You know, we would like to have a large church, a big church, and the numbers and all that, but only if God is there for that. You know? But you want to look at a church, you want to look at a body, you want to look at somebody or a part of this kingdom thing of where we're maturing people, growing people, perfecting people for the kingdom of God, and not just patting them on the head and rubbing their belly and giving them something to go off and say, well, you've done the good churchy thing now, and I'm sure God is happy for you, you know. And I don't know what the answer is. Is it having service for 2.5 hours Sunday morning and 2.5 hours Sunday night and 1 hour and 45 minutes on Tuesday and a prayer on Thursday and this and that on Friday? I don't know. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, is it just me seeing our time for the kingdom of God is a lot less and we give a lot more for the things of this life? If we begin to repent, as we turn back, as we look at the things of God, as we desire to be His voice and His hands and whatever it is that He's asked us to do, we will find that there will be time to do it. Amen. Don't ask me how. Does anybody know how God adds time into the day? Because there's only 24 hours in a day. There's only so many seconds in a minute. There's only so many minutes in an hour. But I have seen to where when you serve God and you're doing things that He's asked you to do, that it seems like you've got more time. Maybe it's because when you serve God, everything is slowed down to the point of saying, okay, I'm God. And like, what is it? A day is like 1,000 and 1,000 is like a day? God's timing does not correlate into the earth's timing of the sun and all that. But the world is a way of just turning and timing. And I know, you know, God, you know, put the sun and the moon and all this and created all this stuff. So God put this together. But the world has gotten a hold of it. And it just seems like, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel like at times by the time I come to the end of the week, instead of 5 days, Monday through Friday, I feel like somebody snuck in an extra 2.5 days on me. Because come Friday, you feel like, my gosh, you know, what's that old thing? A guy would say, you know, I spent a week one night in that town for, you know, I spent a week one night in that town or something. It's a terminology you're thinking about is that, you know, you spent only an hour there, but it seemed like an eternity. And that's how we are in life today, and we're in the kingdom. You know, there's two kingdoms out here. There's either the kingdom of God or there's a kingdom of devil. The God of this world or the God of our kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And so we're going to serve one or the other. And you will find that as you serve that old devil, that he just packs on more on your plate. Because he knows if he can pack more on your plate, you're going to have less to give to God for the true kingdom. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to be watchful of these things. And I'm talking to myself. If I've stepped on your toes, I apologize. But I'm stepping on mine. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. I'm saying, Tim, what you're sharing, you need to listen to too. Amen. Okay? We're all here together, guys. I'm just trying to be the voice. I'm just trying to maybe allow the Spirit of God to move within me, and I've got the opportunity to stand before you, and I trust and I pray that the things I say are the things that God would want me to say, and that they would come out in a way that would meet the needs of the people that are hearing. You might hear it this way. This person might hear it that way. Whatever the case might be. But just to share these things, because we have to be concerned for where we're going as a society and as the things that we hear and see out there. I mean, it's after 12 o'clock. There, I just talked about it. What happened? It's 12:05. Are the Packers playing? Well, we can go on then. Hallelujah. You know? Like Dan was saying, we even build our life around sports teams. We build it around whatever. It's crazy what drives us and keeps us going. I don't know. How would the revivals of the past, would they have been revivals had they had all the technology that we have today? I'm sure they dealt with things and all that that they had to deal with, but I don't know why we always keep thinking like, well, we got it worse. Well, don't we always think that? It's whoever's in the middle of something that you go, I've got it the worst. You know, I've got a lot of problems. I got more than you. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I know you got problems, but my problem is a lot deeper than yours, you know. We all have problems. We all deal with stuff. We all go through things. Well, quickly, we've already covered three areas. The next area that we talked about would be to, where am I at here? Experience by the new birth, repent of your sins, receive it as a gift. No. No, I'm not saying about receiving it as a gift. I'm not going to hurry through it. Tired of trying to appease the time constraints and that's I've got that to bear myself. You know, you got 5 points, you only get to three. It's like, well, let's rush through the other two. Well, no, because the other two just in this area here deal with following Jesus and persevering in faith. I can't rush through following Jesus and persevering in faith. The enemy would like for me to do that. See, the old devil, he's even, I'm not saying the devil's doing all these things, but, you know, we can get caught up into this type of thing, and we go, oh, well, we'll just rush through the most important part. And then we walk out of here, and we're built up for like an hour and 45 minutes, and then, you know, by 6 o'clock tonight, we rush through the important stuff, the meat of the stuff that we need to hear. And so I don't want to do that. Stick with me. Keep coming back. Because really, guys, this thing is broken down into how do we enter the kingdom. We only covered that last week. Then it's like, how do we enter? We talked about when and where is the kingdom. We did. Today we're talking about how would you enter into this kingdom thought process. We need to deal with what is life like in the kingdom. What is life like in the kingdom? Woo! And then how must we relate to the kingdom? So we want to deal with those. There's like four or five or six things in each one of those blocks that we want to look at some scriptures into all that. So bear with us, amen. I want to be walking in his kingdom. I want it so much here now. And it is here now. We just don't realize it. We just allow it to pass by and we're blinded. Well, we need to be opened up. We need our spiritual eyes opened up to say, no, Lord, we're going to take a stand and we're going to receive it. We're going to walk in it and we're going to be effective. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.